sit down. Okay. It's good to have all you here. It's good to be here as the family of God, the body of Christ, holy priesthood. It's good to be here with everybody. And I just want you guys to know how much smarter Rick is than he might first appear. Because, and I'm not, this is, that might have sounded like an insult, but it's not, because I'm reading through the text that I'm going to be covering while he's on vacation, and he's been getting rested and ready to come back and serve you guys to the best of his abilities. And I'm reading through the texts, and like I said, last week we came to one about honoring the emperor, and that was appropriate with the elections upon us and things like that. And I had really been focusing on that. I didn't want to mess up that text. And then after the service, Cheryl came up to me and said, "Are you just going straight through?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Oh, next week ought to be a blast then." And I looked at her and she said, "You know, wives, submit to your husbands." And I thought, that Rick is clever. And Randall said the same thing this morning. And I guess he carries a shovel with him everywhere he goes, because he was just digging himself a hole before he even got here. And to make it even better, my mother-in-law is here to listen. So I don't see how anything could go wrong today. All joking aside, I'm excited about it, sort of, because I think we preach the whole Bible here. We don't leave parts out that are no fun or might step on people's toes, because in Christ, we don't really have any toes to step on. In Christ, we're all joint heirs with Jesus. We're all in it together. But there's some things that he'd like us to do that the apostles gave us instruction in, and that they think would be a good idea for us to go through. And Peter's been talking about that in terms of submitting to authority, submitting to the emperor, he said then, and submitting to the person in charge of you at work, maybe. You know, he talks about it in much different terms from then. But we can garner these big principles through the text and really see how we're supposed to live as Christians and how we're supposed to submit to people. And submission isn't fun. Telling someone, "Okay, I'll listen to you," that's no fun. And in today's text, Emily knows me better than anybody. Therefore, Emily knows how unworthy I am of submission and of listening to me and of letting me lead her. Husbands, you're probably all going, "Yeah, yeah." You're not nodding big because you don't want her to see the weakness, and I applaud you. But you're kind of in your head going, "Yeah, she knows all of it." But let's remember that all of Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is good for teaching, for rebuking, for training in the way of righteousness, including this one, okay? And it's going to take humility on both sides of our marriages, and for the younger people here, the principles still apply to you. Whether you have a husband or wife or not, the principle of humility and submission applies to you no matter what. And we're going to see some customs come up from the original audience that Peter talks about. And that doesn't mean we still can't apply it to ourselves. It's just a little different. We'll talk about that when we dive in. So let's dive in. We're going to start 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to go through verse 7. Likewise. Let's stop. Likewise. Okay? What is he talking about likewise? In the same way, Peter wants us to understand who's at the center of all this. If I just tell you to submit for submission's sake, or if I just tell you to humble yourself for humility's sake, eventually that all falls apart. Okay? Eventually it doesn't hold up, because we're selfish. I won't go into whether we are inherently selfish or we're born that way, but by golly, by the time we get old enough, we sure are selfish, okay? The question of whether we were born that way or not doesn't really matter when we look around and go, "Yeah, I pretty much care about myself more than anyone else when it comes down to it." So when he says likewise, he's calling us back to the first section, or to this previous section that we read through last week, and I'm going to read it for you. It's not going to be on the screens, because I want you to just listen. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter, like a wheel, brings people back to the center, to the hub. Okay? The center of this talk of submission, this talk of humility, is Jesus. The spokes are what we do. What's more important in a wheel? The hub or the spokes? We just had all spokes. Well, I've never tried it, but I would guess it wouldn't be too good. If we just had all spokes, it wouldn't be as strong. Without a center in our life, without a purpose, without someone giving us that example and giving us a reason to be humble, there's no reason for us to be humble. There's no way we can be humble. As Christians, we know that. And Peter's talked about that before, talking about the imperishable seed that's within us, the Holy Spirit that's within us. And we'll talk about that a little more later, but we know that we can't just do it on our own. I didn't know if I was going to include this. I'm going to hope this is the Holy Spirit telling me to. I've been reading and listening to some podcasts about this fellow named George Price. Really smart guy. Lived a while ago. Okay, that's some really accurate history for you guys. Really smart guy. Lived a while ago. But he was a scientist, and he dabbled his way through the Manhattan Project, to tell you how smart he was. And eventually he made his way to England, and he was trying to figure out the origins of altruism, the origins of selfless behavior. Because George Price was an atheist and an adherent to Darwinianism, Darwin's theory of evolution, and he thought altruism has to be able to be explained. Because since evolution, the elephant in the room had been, why are people so nice to each other? Why do people sacrifice? Why is there sacrifice in the world? And no one could come up with anything. Because they said, how does that help the species? It doesn't. It's survive and advance. It's survival of the fittest. And they said, this is tough. They didn't have a center. They didn't have that hub. They couldn't say, well, this is why we sacrifice. And so George Price tried to figure it out, and he was smart, like I said. So he came up with a mathematical equation that could prove, it was a theorem, it could prove where altruism came as a trait. And you would think this would lead, oh my gosh, he should be on top of the world now, right? He did this huge calling as a scientist. But he sat in his office, which happened to be built on the very place where Darwin's old house stood, and he was sitting there and he was thinking. And he had this philosophical thought that if altruism, if kindness, if selflessness is just a trait, if we have no choice in the matter, then it's not really selfless, is it? And he said, I can't live in a world like that. I can't live in a world where there's no real selflessness. I can't live in a world where it's just dark and cold and dank and it's all about death and surviving. And so he decided from then on he was going to give everything he had to the poor. And he was going to be selfless. I haven't read the whole book yet. I'm excited to see how that happens. But he decided to be selfless. And I think he came to that conclusion with the hub, with Jesus in the center, saying, I need to have a reason for this. And so today, when we're talking about submission, we have to remember the center, okay? It's not just about trying to be humble. It's about trying to be humble for a purpose and for a person. Paul brought this up as well in his letter to the Philippians. And he says, let each of you look not only to his own interests. This is in chapter 2 of Philippians. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That's what we always hear. We're equals. Jesus was equal with God, and he didn't think that was something that he needed to hold on to. but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the center. He is the very reason for the wheel of selfless behavior that we've been talking about last week and that we're going to talk about this week. Last week it was public stuff. This week it's the home. And it's all centered around Jesus. The fact that he came to earth is an example of incredible humility. As a thought exercise, just put yourself in that place and say, I got everything. I'm eternal. I'm awesome. I'm great. Yeah, okay, I'll give it up. Sure, I'm going to give it up and I'm going to go serve these people who are currently my enemies because they sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. I'm going to go do it for them. That's the humility that we have as our example. And what was it for? Is at the very end of that verse. It was for God's glory. The motivation behind Jesus's humility, and therefore the motivation behind our humility, is the glory of God. Okay? You're not doing this to win Wives of the Year awards. Husbands, we're not treating our wives like Christ loved the church to win Husband of the Year awards. We're doing it for God's glory. The second goal is all wrapped up in it, is so that we can bring people to Jesus. That's our whole goal of life as Christians. We glorify God and we bring people to glorify God, which then brings them more glory. It's like a repeating pattern. We glorify God, people see that, they come to God, that brings glory to God. And it keeps going and going and going. When we get off that track, when we lose the center, we lose it. So we honor those in government because Jesus first submitted. We honor those in charge of you because Jesus first submitted. And I honor my wife, and my wife honors me because Jesus first submitted. Now we're actually going to read the passage. That was a lot for the first word, right? It's just settle in. We're going to be here. If that's the first word, just imagine. I'm going to get to the sixth and it's going to be like 3 o'clock. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, there's that likewise again. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And I can imagine while we read that, there's the wives at the end of it going, and at the beginning, husbands are like, you listening? You listening? So as we break it down verse by verse, it'll be verses 1 and 2, we'll break it down, and then 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, we'll finish with 7. Peter gives us an example of a God-honoring household. And I find it interesting that the men are supposed to be the leaders, and yet he starts with women and he says, ladies, you're going to have to help him out. He's going to mess up, and so you're going to have to be the one that is subject to him first, that is submitting to someone who is not worthy of submission, but yet Peter calls you to. So, to willingly submit to God, we can all come here today and admit that I'm not God, you're not God, no one's God, God is greater than us, and so for me to submit to God, easy, right? But when he says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, people are messed up. They don't deserve it. So Peter's call is to get rid of pride, to get rid of this idea of, that I'm just as good as you, or the more accurate phrase is, you're just as bad as I am. You're just as bad as I am, so why should I submit to you? And Peter's call is to get rid of that pride. And why? So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Our behavior is powerful. This is where we can take the big principle, and we can say, people submit to other people so that they may be won without a word. Now, Paul has talked about in Romans before that preaching is important and talking to people about God is important. How are they going to come to Christ if no one has preached it to them, if no one has told them about it? Well, they're not going to be very receptive to whatever you say if you're a jerk. Don't be that. Be someone whose conduct is so pure and gentle that they say, there is something different about you. What is it? And they're won without a word. And this can go both ways. Okay? Here's a time where I could say, sometimes I don't like when maybe Emily will remind me of something over and over. And there's a word, nagging. I'm not using it here. There is some that have used it before. You don't nag me, honey. But sometimes when she nags me, I think I'll do it. I'll do it. And I think sometimes if we're always harping on people, that, man, you're such a sinner. You're terrible. You need Jesus really bad. They're thinking, enough, enough. And I know that sometimes, with Emily, I do the same thing. She would call me a nagger as well. Because she works in the nursing home, okay? And they make you pick up your checks. Well, she only works there once a week, and she's busy the rest of the time. And I'll talk about how she submits and is humble and how hard she works for me a little bit later. But sometimes she forgets to pick up her paycheck because she's busy, but that doesn't help, right? Like, hey, you worked a lot. Thank you. Do you have your paycheck? No. Wow. Gold star, maybe. We could use that right now. And so she thinks that I nag her about that, I'm sure. She's right now, she's giving me the face like, stop nagging me about that in front of people. You're supposed to tell good stories. So to be subject to your own husbands, and even husbands, to win over wives, to win over people, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. It's how we act that's going to really stick with people. Walk the walk, right? Don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. We've got all sorts of different phrases for that in our society where it's about doing what you say. I used to get in trouble a lot in high school, and I would always, there was one teacher in particular, and I'd say, Miss Fisher, I'm sorry. And she would say, Matt, I hear you, but I don't believe you. Because if you were sorry, you would stop doing this every day. You would stop, you know, being so sarcastic, and you would stop picking on, but you would stop that if you were really sorry. How we act comes through. And so this call to submission can be for everybody. Bringing people to Christ through our honorable conduct. Bringing people to Christ because we're living like we have Jesus in our lives in the first place. But the call here is specifically to wives. We preach the Bible, and this is what the Bible says. The call is to you wives. And so I'm going to ask that you pray. That you pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you and make your lives, your actions, and your conduct so beautiful and redeemed that your husbands and everyone around you would be won over to Christ's side without a word. Our words tend to come across as negative if repeated over and over and over. The Holy Spirit's come across as persuasive when He repeats it and when he talks to people. So pray and submit even though He might not be worthy of it sometimes, a lot of the times, most of the times, all of the times. Submit so that you could bring Him to Christ. Next, a woman of God, this wife that Peter is talking about, is primarily concerned with her inner beauty. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Our culture stinks about how we talk to women, how we tell them they're worth something. If you watch TV, if you read a magazine, if you drive down the road, there's going to be something there that puts out the idea, you are only beautiful if you look like this. You are only worthwhile if this is who you are. And that's just not true. That's not how God looks at any of us. Thank goodness. If God had like a prototype, I'm not it. And so thank goodness He loves us because He created us. And so ladies, to take a break about telling you what to do, I'm going to encourage you now. Ladies, you're absolutely stunning to God. You are gorgeous. You are beautiful. You are His creation, and He loves you more than anything. And He loves you so much that He sent Jesus. He sent someone that He loved so that you could be with Him forever, so that you could be redeemed. That's how much Jesus loves you, women. That's how much Jesus loves you, ladies. And He doesn't care what you look like. You are beyond precious to God. If anyone treats you differently, they are wrong. We still need God's grace, all of us. Ladies still need God's grace. And you can't do it on your own, but know that God wants and loves you. Okay? So when Peter's saying, don't let your adorning be external, I think he's calling to women to remember why they're truly beautiful. It doesn't mean you can't dress up and look nice. I love when Emily dresses up, and she is gorgeous. I am lucky. I outkicked my coverage, as they say. Okay? Like, younger guy in the back smiled. He's like, he knows that one. She's too pretty for me, is what I'm saying. Okay? God's good. So I like when she dresses up. But that's not where her most beautiful attributes lie, not on the outside. It's who she is on the inside. It's when we go and visit with someone in the nursing home that she loves, that she's only known for a few months, but she wants to minister to them. That's beautiful. That's where her inner beauty is. And so when Peter says, ladies, don't let your adorning be external, that stuff fades away. He brings us back to the Holy Spirit. That's imperishable. The Holy Spirit inside of you will help make you beautiful through love and through love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, selflessness, self-control, gentleness, all those things. God wants to give you through the Holy Spirit, through the imperishable nature. You can look all fancy, and husbands, when your wife dresses up, you tell her how beautiful she is. And when your wife shows her your inner beauty, you tell her even more so how beautiful she is. It's a two-way street here. And this call can be given to the whole body. That men, you are not your work. You are not your job. You are not your paycheck. You are not anything other than God's precious child, that when you dance around and say, Daddy, look what I can do, He's there to say, oh, that's awesome. And ladies, when you dance around and say, Daddy, spend time with me, God's there to do that. So this can be to the whole body, to focus on this inner beauty of the Holy Spirit pouring out of your bodies. Okay? The Holy Spirit acting in your lives. That's true beauty. And it's the kind of beauty that's going to bring people to Jesus. Outside beauty, outer beauty, this superficial stuff that our culture is consumed with, doesn't bring people to Jesus, it brings people to us. And that's not the goal. God wants us to bring people to Jesus. And that's that inner beauty. And the specific call here is to wives, to ladies. Ladies, don't let your focus dwell on the outside. Focus on the inner workings of beauty. Gentleness and love and wisdom. And men, as a result of Peter encouraging the ladies to focus on the fruits of the Spirit, perhaps we should focus a little more on it too. I don't know how that'll play out in each of your lives, but make sure your wives and the ladies in your lives know how beautiful you think they are because of who they are and because of who's within them, the Holy Spirit. Finally, ladies, verses 5 and 6, you have plenty of godly examples to follow. That was like, let me just give you the first four verses in my mind were Gary and I went on a run yesterday, my father-in-law, and we run up this big hill in town, which is like whatever, any hill in town. If you start somewhere in town, you're going to end up running up a hill. I don't like that. And those first four verses were that hill. I was just laboring to get up there because I didn't want to step on any toes. And now we're in the easy part. Now we get to talk about examples of women who have done it before and who you should follow. So verses 5 and 6, "For this is how the holy women of God who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." A few different examples. Sarah is the one Peter gives. God comes to Abraham and says, "Abraham, follow me. Leave your family, leave your countrymen behind. Follow me. I'm going to bless you." I wonder how that conversation went in the tent with Sarah. Sarai at that point when it was Abram. Abram was like, "Hey, go ahead and pack, and we're going to be moving." Where? "Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. God just told me to follow him, and we're going to go ahead and do that." And Sarah did it. Now, I think this is a good time to mention that submission doesn't mean just going along quietly with whatever. God is not silencing women here. God is asking you to be humble in whatever you do, even if that's in disagreeing with your husband. That it's not you lording it over him. It's not you telling him what a dummy he is. It's that you bring it to his attention in a loving way. I've been reading a book on teamwork, and one of the keys of teamwork is that you can disagree well. It doesn't mean that you don't disagree ever. And thank goodness, because Emily and I argue all the time. Because we're both stubborn. And we still love each other at the end. I think that's part of this submission. You can disagree, but let it be godly when you do. And so I wonder what Sarah said there. But we don't know, and we know that she followed him. She followed him into all manner of terrible situations when he had the worst ideas about lying to Pharaoh and lying to Abimelech. He lied all the time. And Sarah was there supporting her husband, I hope telling him, "Maybe next time you just trust God the whole time. Maybe next time you don't lie this time." Because his kids picked up on that. We can talk about that some other time. And then we have Hannah. I don't know if you guys and you ladies remember Hannah from the Old Testament in Samuel. Hannah had a tough go. She was most loved by her husband, but because people are fallen, the Israelites were participating in some things they shouldn't have been, and so Hannah's husband had another wife as well. And that wife was fruitful and had lots of kids, and Hannah didn't have any kids. And she prayed and she prayed and she submitted to her husband and she loved God. And when God blessed her, she continued to submit to her husband and to follow God and gave up her firstborn to serve God. That's Samuel. And then we've got Esther. And on Wednesday night, you guys have been going through Esther, right? With Gary. Gary's been teaching through Esther. Esther's an interesting book. God, by name, is not mentioned. But we see people change. And I know that when I see people change, true change, I normally don't think it's them. It's not coincidence, it's God. That's God's providence. And Esther was a woman who submitted to her evil, pagan king of a husband, Xerxes. Xerxes was not a good guy. The reason Esther was his wife was because one time Xerxes said, "Hey, current wife, come over here and dance for all these drunk men." And the current wife was like, "No, that's a really bad idea." And I don't think it was because she wasn't submitting. I think it was because she was intelligent. And she said, "No, that's not going to happen." And so he had her banished. And so then Esther comes in, and the story of Esther, the book, Mordecai and Haman get in an argument. Haman's bad. Mordecai's a Jew. And so Haman says, "Hey, Mordecai's a Jew. I'm going to kill all of the Jews that are still here." Bad deal. Esther, submitting to her husband, Xerxes, goes and gently brings up, "Hey, I'm also Jewish, and this guy's trying to kill me." And it's the way, if you read Esther, watch how patient she is and wise she is and how she brings this up. That's not to say that Esther did everything right, and it's not to say that everyone does everything right in the Scriptures, but it's to say we can focus on the good parts and say, look at how wise and understanding these women of faith were. And he says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children. To be called a child of Abraham, the Israelites focused on that. If you were called a child of Abraham, that meant you had his promise. And to have his promise meant that you had all the glories of God at your fingertips. And I think the same thing is true here, that Peter's calling on that and saying, listen, we're all children of Abraham, and you can be children of Sarah and take hold of that promise that she was a part of. You have these examples, follow these examples. And again, what's the purpose? Not just to submit, but to bring people to Jesus, to glorify God and to bring people to Jesus. And real quick, I want to reiterate what submission is not. Submission is not suffering under abuse. It is not silently going along with any and everything, and it is not a license for husbands to rule with an iron fist. That's not submission, because that's not godly leadership either. But submission is what we do to bring others to glorify God through having Jesus in their lives. And if that seems a little vague, it's because, man, that's life. You're going to have to figure some of this stuff out on your own through prayer and through reading your Bible. I can't be there for every situation and say, this is how we submit and this is how we bring others to Jesus. And you folks are smart. You can get this if we bring the Holy Spirit into our lives to give us guidance. So verse 7, the wives are like, finally, good. This guy, he needs some help. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, we have to realize that we're not worthy of the submission and that we need to turn everything towards God. So this is a big responsibility for wives, for Emily to listen to me, for me to be the leader in Emily's life, the spiritual leader in Emily's life. So we've got to focus on the likewise in the verse again. And the likewise means Jesus is the reason that we're doing this submission, this humility. He's the reason and he's the example, and we're bringing glory to God first and bringing people to Jesus. So just as Jesus submitted to God for God's glory, so must we men. It's a solid understanding of grace and our need for God that will help us be these husbands that live with our wives in an understanding way. And that understanding way sounds condescending at first, but what he's talking about is live with your wives with a gospel knowledge. You know the grace you need, so give them that same grace. And again, just like those first few verses, the men could take some things away from it. Ladies, you can take things away from this too. Live with your husbands with that gospel knowledge. Too many times, arguments end with a lot of bitterness and a filing away in our minds. Oh, yeah. Yep, I gave in on this one. So down the road, I'm definitely getting my way. I do that. I've got a really long memory when Emily messes up and a really short memory when I mess up. Anyone else like that? They've got really long memories when someone else wrongs them, but when that same person's like, well, remember when you did this? I do not recall. I don't do that sort of thing. That sounds terrible. Who would do that? But you, I remember you did something like that. So when we're living with our wives in an understanding way, we're living with that gospel knowledge on the tips of our tongues and our fingertips at all times. It's living with the idea that we need that grace and that we're the bringers of grace to the world too. Jesus, I don't know why God has entrusted people with this gospel. It seems like he'd be a much better marketer and advertiser than we are. But we are the crown of his creation. He wants us to bring others to him. Peter finally finishes off saying, we're in this together. He calls women the weaker vessel. The best the best interpretations I found on that is that most of the time, ladies, you're not as strong as your husband. Husbands, you should take care of your wives in that respect. He's not saying that you're somehow less worthy of things. In fact, he says right after that, we're joint heirs in grace. That's the important stuff. We're joint heirs in this gospel. So, after all this, the family exists just for the same reason that we exist as citizens and we exist as workers and employees, so that we can submit to this authority, not just for submission's sake, but to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God and to bring people to Jesus. So wives, husbands, bosses, employees, citizens, it is your job to submit and serve with Christ, not for suffering's sake, but for the glory of God and for the sake of those who do not yet know Him. We need to submit. With God's help, with the Holy Spirit's leading, and with Jesus' example, we can. And I hope this week and the rest of this year and the rest of your lives, you will endeavor to do that to bring glory to God and to bring people to His Son. Go ahead and stand. Praise team can make their way down and I'll pray. Dear God, I thank You so much for today. And I thank You, honestly God, I thank You that You let me preach that sermon. That You gave me the words to say. And God, I pray that You would help us to submit, to be humble, to take on the very same attitude of Christ when we deal with people, so that they can bring glory to God and so they will come to Jesus through our actions and through Your Holy Spirit's calling. God, thank You for partnering with us. You are mighty and we... It's a mystery why You've enlisted us into Your service. But God, help us to bring more people to You. Help us to do everything for Your credit and for Your glory. We love You so very much, and we thank You so much for Your Son and for His sacrifice and for the grace that He gives us. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. day and you're tired of living your life where it's me, 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 and it's just empty at the end of the day, Christ is there to be the center of your wheel, to be the center of your life. And we want to be a church that directs everybody towards Him and can be spokes together in that wheel. So if you've got questions or anything like that about following Jesus or becoming a part of this church, talk to me, talk to one of the elders. We want to partner with you. We want to be the stones together in the spiritual house meant to glorify God. We've got some announcements. Thanksgiving dinner coming up here at the church on November 22nd at noon. The details are on the front bulletin board. If you can bring some food for that, I think it's going to be a really, really good time. And a great time to humble ourselves and serve our community. In the bulletin it says there's just a few items that the food pantry needs, but this was printed before we had a couple of families come in and take advantage of our food pantry and get some stuff from there that they needed, and that's great. That's what it's for. But now we're empty. And so we need more than dish soap, deodorant, and shampoo, because those don't taste good. So we probably still need those things, and we need some more things as well. If you've got any questions, please see Marilyn or Elizabeth. They do a lot of work with that, and we thank them for that. Finally, we've got a fellowship meal downstairs right after church. It's going to be great. I think we're all going to really get along after that sermon. It's going to just rainbows and daisies and unicorns. So please come and join us for that. We want to get together and enjoy a meal with you. I think that's all the announcement. Nope. Oh, the Christmas program. Yeah. All right. And do you still need adults for parts? Oh, I was going to really guilt them into it. Okay. You better help with backdrops. That Christmas program, that's going to be fun. I love the Christmas season. It's going to be good. And we're going to be starting a sermon series here in a couple of Sundays about getting us ready. All right. I think that's it. So, Hank, would you close us out with prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that we can come here and hear your precious word, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you will be the hub of our life, Lord, that everything revolves around you, Lord, that we would be humble and that you would be glorified in everything that we say and do. I pray that you would be with this congregation as they go into the work week, Lord, and that people would see you in us, Lord. And we just love you and praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love that you show in each and every one of us if we just come to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ha ha ha.